Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime, LGBT, thriller.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Enter the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Los Angeles, 102.3 FM Riverside,
and 1050 AM Palm Springs.
Welcome back into the House of Mystery. I'm Al Warren. Mr. Michael Hawley is in the room.
How you doing, Al?
Well, I'm always doing good. How are you?
Oh, I'm making it, working hard in Buffalo, New York.
Now, today we've got a couple of great people. We've had Chris McCauley on before, so we'll welcome him. And also, Claudia Christian is joining him to talk about their new project, Dark Legacy. So thank you for being here, both of you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Nice speaking with you.
Chris, maybe explain, what is Dark Legacy? So for listeners, people right now listening, what can you tell them that the Dark Legacies is?
It's a new exciting sci-fi franchise that Claudia and I came up with as a form of antidote to the quite dystopian side of the genre, because we've all been inundated with that sort of dark, 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 dark stuff. Now, that's not to say that, I mean, it's called Dark Legacies, but it's all about hope and looking into a better future from quite a grisly and grim past. And I think that's what people need to hear now, especially with everything that's going on in the world. There is hope. So that's primarily what the franchise is about. Throughout the stories, we encounter the character that Claudia plays, Major Jessica Staten, And she has quite a dark past, but is reconciling herself to that and using that sort of the issues that she's had to make sure that humanity doesn't go back into that sort of dystopian government that it came, that it's come out of.
Well, and Claudia Christian, now she's a Babylon 5 legend is what we've got written here. So
absolutely.
Claudia, how did you get mixed up with this Chris fella?
Oh gosh, I think he paid me nothing to do it. It's amazing. No, he reached out to me and we started chatting about what we would like to see in the science fiction genre, in the science fiction world, really. Tossed around the ideas of using really beloved actors that are easy to work with and professional, and giving people, you know, a modicum of creativity, a little bit of input, a little bit of fun, so it's not just, you know, it's just not one-sided. And of course, I really dug the theme of hope and reconciliation because, like Chris said, the whole genre has gone incredibly dark. And I don't know about you, but I just have a really hard time. I can watch conflict when it's in something like The Last Kingdom, but when there's conflict constantly in futurism, it really, it gets to me, because I look at this sort of as, is this what we're heading toward? Isn't there any hope? Isn't there any light at the end of the tunnel? So I was very happy to see that we had a similar take on that. And anytime I'm able to play a kick-ass character, and when I say play, I mean model myself after, or have this character modeled after me, or be involved with something that shows a woman as being strong, intelligent, fallible, vulnerable, all of the complexities that make up the human experience. So it's not just one-sided. If pretty much anybody can play a hero, but it's difficult really to touch upon the tenderness of fallibility and what we learn from that. So every character has to have a learning experience, a learning arc. And Chris, in all of his work, really grasps that. That's why his work is interesting as a writer, because you care about the characters. If you don't care about the characters, what's the point in either reading a comic book or watching a TV series? There's no point.
Yeah, oh, for sure, because something happens to them, you don't care, right? It's like, yeah, I think characters are the key to it all. Absolutely. So you're really a science fiction sort of buff? You're really into that? You don't just play one on TV?
Yeah, you know, I'm not really. I mean, I'm educating myself now. Chris knows this, and I've never lied about this. I'm a historian. I live in the past. Up until recently, I was using Venetian crystal pens and homemade ink. I mean, I am not of this century at all. I still listen to CDs.
You have running water?
I do have running water. Okay. Yes. I do insist upon some modern wonderful things that the modern world has done, and I have good hygiene, so that's good to know. But as far as science fiction, I mean, I obviously dipped my toe starting in 1992 when I did an episode of Space Rangers, and then I got Babylon 5 in 94, and I was inundated suddenly with the science fiction fans, and that just made my heart soar, because they are so loyal, so generous, so kind, and so interesting. It's just a bunch of interesting people. I would meet writers and producers and actors and anime characters and voiceover artists like me, you know. So it's really it's a great group of people. Now, do I know every single Neil Gaiman book? I've read a bunch of them, but not all of it. Do I know every single episode of Star Trek? No, I think I watched one of the original episodes. But that said, I'm up, truly up for learning about the comic book world, because it interests me in the sense that you can tell a story with such an interesting medium so quickly. And it really has to be fine, honed down, which is really the element of good writing, is you cut away until you are at the bare bones. And in comics, that's what you have to do.
Babylon 5, 1994? Wow, was it almost 30 years ago? You must have only been five or six.
Well, we mind you, we wrapped it. I wrapped in 99. And then we did a couple of movies of the week. And so probably went almost into 99, 2000. Maybe. I can't really recall. But I started it when I was in my 20s. And I think I ended it when I was in my early 30s. I was born in 65, so
wow.
Do the math.
I see, yeah. I would have thought for sure you're only 30 or something.
Well, you know, I have a cryogenic freezer, I keep telling Chris. I just use it, if I use that in the Dorian Gray painting in my attic, by the time we get this sold as a live-action series, I can play Jessica Steele, because I'll look.
Well, there you go. Well, and Chris, so what? How can... Explain Dark Legacy Universe, and how do you come up with something like that? That's always the toughest, I would think, the toughest part, and probably the most comprehensive part of creating something like this is creating the world.
I kind of got asked that last night when I was out for dinner. Where did you get your ideas? And, you know, I quite flippantly said it was, you know, a mail order service in Albuquerque.
Yeah.
but no, it's... I came off the Stokerverse stuff, so I'm still doing Stokerverse, but I had been doing the Dracula and the sort of classic horror, and I had known Claudia's work for a while, and Claudia has an instinct for storytelling, so it doesn't matter whether it's through acting or through her books, because she's a writer. She's got an instinct for storytelling, so I couldn't have thought of a better partner in science fiction and Claudia, and we started talking about it, and it was from that nucleus of we were sort of in the coronavirus at the time, the height of the coronavirus, and it was trying to bring hope to people, and I thought about the various political situations that were going on around the world and the very real possibility, and you know, the rise of corporate culture, and the very real possibility that we are heading into a terrifying dystopia where humanity's creative endeavors will be sidelined for the almighty dollar, and for various other ignoble causes. And it was from that, you know, what would happen? How would we emerge from that dystopian government? So it was a universal dystopian government that ruled the earth for about 270 years, and they mismanaged Earth's resources. There were colony worlds in Mars. And unlike Earth, these colony worlds sort of fought back against human presence and brought the genetic mutations. And those people who had suffered genetic mutations, you know, were treated as second-class citizens. And, I mean, that's a euphemism for so many issues that are going on today as well. It was really from that. And then, getting to know Claudia as a person, I wanted to create this character which kind of embodied Claudia, and I hope you don't mind me saying that, Claudia, but the strength and the... Claudia is very articulate, and you know, so this character is very different from anything that maybe she's portrayed before, because there's a vulnerability of the character because of the past, because of the dark legacies of her past. You know, we're examining the dark legacies of humanity's past, but also in each of the characters, there's a dark legacy in there. So... It's just this fascinating tapestry that started coming out, and then whenever Bruce Boxleitner got involved, I had to cast him in a Western role, really. I mean, Big Bruce is he's been in Westerns, he's a fan of Westerns. So I looked at The Martian Frontier and thought it would be quite similar to what The American Frontier would have been like, obviously with some technological differences. So we have him as a Martian Marshal. And, he's a great character. His backstory gets explored a lot in issue 2.
Chris, you approached Claudia for a hope-based future, is that...?
Essentially, yeah, that was how it started. We were looking at, I think it's being termed as hope punk now. There's a wave of this coming, and it's really looking at humanity's future in hope. How many of us, when you switch on the television or listen to the radio, and we feel down or we feel despair at what's going on around us, and we don't feel any hope for the future. But if you look at, like, classic science fiction, the stuff that we keep going back to, it's hope-based. You know, Star Trek is hope-based. The show that Claudia started, The Babylon 5, is actually very spiritual and hope-based. And I think that's the hallmark of really good science fiction. I do think we have to explore our fears through that medium, but I always think it should be through the lens of hope. I think it's really important.
Well, knowing just Claudia just a little bit, I don't see any fear in her. So how is that going to happen? Because Claudia, you're very confident. You can tell. I'm sure that really helps you out as a historian, actress, everything. But does that like fit well with the character then?
I always say this, that you have to be smart to play dumb. You have to be incredibly strong to play vulnerable. And otherwise, you don't care. If somebody walks around like a piece of milk toast and they're crying all the time and everything affects them and they're super sensitive, you're not going to care when it happens again. But when you see Clint Eastwood cry, holy moly, you're affected, you know? So it's just, you have to have that. With Bruce Willis, any of these guys who have heart, strength, intelligence, quickness of mind, and then you see them break down a little bit, it's far more affecting than it is for somebody who plays that note all the time. So I think that when you see somebody, when, for instance, Savonova, or, I mean, when she fell apart or showed even the slightest crack in her discipline and her perfection and her work ethic, you really cared because she didn't walk around with her heart on her sleeve. And for me, it's ironic because I am literally the most sensitive person I've known. I mean, people who really know me know that I'm unbelievably sensitive. This is just a suit of armor that I've had to create over the years so that I don't break down every time I see a homeless person, because I'm like an empath. I walk around and I see something and I just burst into tears. And it's because I feel the pain. I feel that. And so for me, I couldn't get anything done if I allowed that to happen all day. So I've manifested this exterior of somebody who's really strong. And I am strong, but on the other hand, I'm unbelievably compassionate and vulnerable. And that's
likely what attracted you to Chris's project.
Absolutely. He has heart and soul, and we both share a spiritual life and practice, and we both have we just have a lot in common, and insofar as what we care about when it comes to good writing, good characters, well-formed things, and also just to move people, to make people think and also care. And I love the idea of escapism, especially in this world right now. And I love the idea of something tangible that you hold in your hand, like a comic book, as opposed to another bloody app. I mean, I'm all for, you know, games, for video games. I do a lot of them. I'm, you know, within reason for people to use them. But sometimes to read something, to have that hand-to-eye connection, is really important. And I know the attention span has gotten incredibly small, especially for the younger generation. So, you know, comics are important and they should be around, and they should have compassionate, fallible characters in them and not just perfection.
Well, Chris, now, so you're sort of inspired by Claudia in a sense to create the character, but tell us, what's it really like working with Claudia?
I actually do love working with Claudia, because we talk every day. You know, it's the same as working with Decker. You know, we kind of talk every day. We've got different, you know, it's not that we always agree on the creative vision, but we have enough respect for each other that we can, you know, we work around it. We end up crafting together something that is, I think, fairly unique out there. But I have been inspired by, I didn't know Claudia was from Babylon 5, actually, when we first met. I was inspired by Claudia because of the amount that she gives back to society through the C3 Foundation. And then I started to find out a little bit more. I mean, actually, first thing I found out was she was in the A-team. And I know I'm not supposed to mention that again, but yeah, that's fascinating. That. But that That was where it all started, yeah. And then I started watching Babylon 5. And I do have vague memories of it as a kid. It was on at an odd time when I was a kid, on Channel 4 in the UK. So I only caught maybe about six episodes. But then I did sit and watch it back. And what really fascinates me about Babylon 5 is that it's how much that the actors have really created the story, how much they embody the story. And that taught me a lesson about, you know, when we're working with Claudia and Bruce and Peter Jurczyk and Pat Talman and others, about listening to the actor, listening to the beats in the story, because an actor can tell you that. And I think that's important to me as a writer, that I listen to that. And I craft the characters with those people who are going to visually portray the character. Well, I mean, Claudia's actually, if you go to our Kickstarter page, Claudia has portrayed Jessica Steele in live action, which is really cool. It's incredible. And it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. And I think it's up there, you know, I don't want to offend anybody, but I think it's up there with Ivanova. In fact, you know, it's the, you do portray it incredibly well. And when I write things for, because I write audio dramas, and actually Dark Legacy is coming out as an audio drama. Hopefully, I think it's next week, the first one. And when I say to anybody who's kind of working on my stuff, and I've worked in Doctor Who and things like that, I say to folks, like, you guys, you're the actors. You know the beats. I've written this as a writer. This is how it sounds in my head as a writer. But I completely trust an actor to ad-lib or to change things. When Claudia portrayed Jessica, it brought a new dimension to it. And I think that's really important to highlight.
It's also 25 years older, and you know, and it's really nice to bring certain maturity to a role, a certain sense of which going back to what you asked about fallibility and empathy and compassion and all that, if you see somebody who's older and wiser and has all this life experience, if you see them get hurt or break down, it's even more, you know, effect. So, you know, because you think, well, this person really looks like they have their act together and they're older and more experienced. And so yeah, I think when I have to give a big thank you to Chris. I mean, the fact that he reached out to me because of my advocacy for alcohol use disorder is quite, just shows what kind of person he is. You know, he's a deep, thoughtful person who cares about the planet and his fellow man. So that was important to me, and that gave us sort of a nice jumping off spot to form our friendship. But in the Kickstarter, people can get a little taste of Jessica Steele, which was fun to sort of play it. You know, it was fun to bring her to life for a moment.
So, Chris, then Jessica, now do you have Claudia in mind when you're writing for Jessica?
Always have them. This is a strange thing about my writing. When I write Dracula, I hear Dracula. I'm currently writing for Doctor Who, Davros, and I'm working with the actor who's played Davros now for about 30 or 40 years, and I hear him very clearly when I write it. My editors have noted that it's the tone of Davros, and it's the same with Jessica. I can hear Claudia. I don't hear Ivanova. I don't hear the myriad of roles that Claudia's played throughout the years. I hear Claudia. And as a writer, it's this sort of weird.
Well, they don't let you drive when you hear these voices.
No, we don't. Thank God. But it is, it's hard to describe it. It's, you're writing in that tone and in that, with that depth of that person almost sitting beside you or whatever. And there's sometimes I do sort of mentally think, you know, what would Jessica do? What would Jack Reeves, Bruce's character, do? Because I think that's really important to whenever if you're writing anything, but writing the second issue, because it's an ensemble cast now, it's hearing those voices of the characters, but also how those actors would portray them.
It's kind of like Anthony Hopkins with that character. Once Anthony Hopkins, the actor, got involved, it changed to him. So I can see that happening.
Yeah, I find it very easy to hear. Hear it, and then sometimes I'll read it out, but I won't read it out in the Claudia's voice or anything weird like
You don't dress up.
No, I don't do that. No.
Okay.
But I read it out to see if it would, if it makes sense, if the dialogue makes sense. That's part of the process. And Jessica Steele without Claudia.
We talked to Anne Cleves just last week, and she said the same thing about some of her characters that have gone on to series and stuff, and how the actor sort of takes it somewhere different, and how she loves it. So I'm wondering now, Claudia, what would you, or how would you describe the lead character, Jessica Steele?
Well, I mean, she's got an incredibly analytical mind. She speaks multiple languages. She's great at cryptography. She's a very strong, I think, sort of matter-of-fact person when she comes into a situation. And I think that the reason why people like her as special ops commander is because she gets the job done without a lot of drama or you know, she just dives in. I see her as somebody who is extremely competent, but is kind of, when she gets home, is a completely different person. I see her as holding it together for work, and that work holds her together, and that she is so determined that humanity won't step backwards into that regime and that despair again, that she is fully focused on what she's doing and dedicated her life to this. But obviously the secrets from her past and the trauma from her past are way too big to have overcome it, even by this age. And even though she's in therapy and she alludes to having a therapist, I don't think that she's fully recovered in any way, shape, or form. And I think that anger drives a lot of her intent as well. And I think that this is somebody you definitely don't want to mess with, but she also has a massive heart which has been broken in pieces by her past, her childhood. So I think that's a really nice mixture of things. She's not your atypical, you know, one-sided hero. She's wounded and tortured and yet on the outside just seems like, okay, I'm going to get this done. What do you need? I will analyze this. I will go through the records. I will figure out what you know, symbols mean and I will kick your ass because I know Krav Maga. But other than that, you know, but then when I get home, I might have a good cry over something or beat up the wall or, you know, kick in something. So I think that it's that kind of person, that she's just not recovered.
But she can handle a big gun. You see that in issue one, she can handle a big gun, yeah.
Well, that's, I think it's more difficult for heroines and heroes because of that duality that they have to deal with. Really tough, but sensitive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is you have to have all those colors, otherwise it's boring. And nobody will care.
Although I love Clint Eastwood when he kicks butt. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah, but when he sheds a little tear, it is heartbreaking.
True. Yes.
It's heartbreaking, and you really care because it's so rare.
I do have a reputation for writing very violent, action-packed scenes.
Oh.
Yeah.
And how, that's come about, but how I look at it is that violence is a transformative action, okay? And it transforms the person who's perpetrating it, and it transforms the person who it's been perpetrated to. And I think that's a very important thing in storytelling. You know, I write characters who have scarred souls. You know, that to me, that's kind of the... All the characters I write seem to have these sort of scarred souls, these deep wounds. But the lovely thing about being a writer is that we can reconcile that.
I have to say the amount of violence shocked me, Chris. So
It is. Like, if you're a sci-fi fan and you're listening to us and thinking, you know, is this going to be one of these very emotive comic books? Well, it is, but it's also packed with a lot of violence. It's packed with a lot of action. Because, yeah, I like action-packed scripts. I write action-packed scripts, but, you know, it's not just like a character who's grabbing a gun and running around and shooting things. If you look at James Cameron's Aliens, Ripley was in therapy at the start of that. Ripley was very vulnerable. Ripley was, and it brought forward a really a beautiful flavour of an action heroine who had a scarred soul and made it intimate. You know, you felt an intimate connection when you watched the film. And that's what I hope when people read the comic books and listen to the audios and play the games, there's an intimate connection to the characters.
Along with the reconciliation?
Yeah. I think it's reconciliation of your personal past is a very noble thing. There's forgiveness and reconciliation are the two most noble and heroic things you can do as a human being. It's the ultimate. It might not sound too sexy, but I think it's the truth of our humanity. I think that's Jesus, I'm getting really deep. But that's how I approach the characters.
Now Chris is drinking.
You know? No.
Have you changed the way you've written violence on the page over the years?
My first mentor was Pat Mills. He created Judge Dredd. And Pat never used the word violence, he used the word action. So that's how I look at it. But growing up in Northern Ireland, where violence was just a part of life, I mean, I remember as a kid, I used to crawl out of, you know, bomb craters. Various terrorist groups blew up the doctor's surgery next door to me. You know, I grew up in this kind of, a little bit like Garth Ennis. I grew up in that environment of extreme violence. I thought it was normal as a kid. And then you grow up and you get older and wiser and realise that it isn't. Do I write it differently? Possibly. When I wrote Judge Dredd, it was the violence was maybe a little bit more tongue-in-cheek. There's consequences to the choices that the characters make. So I think that's maybe... I mean, I'm 41 this year, so I've got a little older and wiser from the days when I was writing Judge Dredd. So, yeah, possibly.
Wow, you're getting old. So what would you like to see happen with this franchise, and what kind of is your hopes for it? And I guess we can start with Claudia on that one.
Well, I mean, I have the ultimate hope. I would love to see this become a live action series. And everything else, games, audio stories, everything. I think that it's a story that can take all sorts of ways of telling it. But my ultimate goal would be a live action series, whether that was animated or with, you know, live action or animation, but definitely a series or a film would be wonderful to bring this universe to life.
Okay. And Chris, what can you say about it?
Well, all of that, and I'm actually quite thankful that that stuff has actually happened or in the process of it. But my hope is that we've entered into this terrible era where I think the term's ageism, and I can't write characters that are 16 years of age and are supposed to have, you know, the ability to do all these kind of different things. I want to see through this, and obviously through other media, that we look at actors and characters through the lens of experience. And I'll give you another example. I write a character, Mina Harker, a cult investigator, and I wrote that for a feminist anthology. Mina Harker in this one is 50 years of age. She doesn't have to wear leather to be an action hero. And, you know, she's got a lot of weight and gravitas. That resonated with a big audience. And that's what I'm kind of hoping for with this. When I write Claudia's character, I'm not writing somebody who's, 20-odd years of age. When I write Bruce's character, it's not somebody who's in their 30s or 40s. It's the weight, it's the gravitas of living a life. And I would love to see that being brought back into the entertainment industry. You mentioned Anthony Hopkins. Well, that's what he brings. He brings all these years of experience with him. So I'm trying to... I'm hoping to kickstart a renaissance where we look at, we stop looking at, you know, the very young as maybe, you know, as the only characters we can portray, but people who are representative of our entire society. Hopefully that answer makes sense. I'm not sure if it does, but...
Yeah,
makes sense
no.
to me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You're speaking to a couple of old guys, so it makes a lot of sense.
Wisdom and experience and the way that people are living now into their 90s and 100s, you know, I still consider myself middle-aged. So I figure the more wisdom, the more experience, the more gravitas one brings to a character, the better. And Chris sees that and has a very healthy respect for that. And that's another reason why I adore him.
So now here we go. So let's talk about your Kickstarter and where people can find you, website, location. Let's give us all that.
Well, when it comes to Kickstarter, you can go to kickstarter.com and search for Claudia Christian's Dark Legacies Chapter 2, and I will give you a link, Alan, if you can stick it under there. We've also got our Dark Legacies Facebook group, and I will send you a link for that. But obviously, if you're on Facebook, you can just Google Claudia Christian's Dark Legacies, and we're there. We have a website, www.dark-universes.com, because Claudia and I also do fantasy and all sorts of different things together, not just Dark Legacies. But you will find all our Dark Legacies information there as well.
Fantastic. And Claudia, do you have a website as well and place where people can find you separate? Or?
Yeah, for my advocacy for alcohol use disorder and the Sinclair Method, they can visit c3foundation.org. For my updates on appearances and things, they can visit claudiachristian.net. And, I think that's about it, because Chris mentioned the Dark Legacies site, and, yeah.
Well, perfect. So what do you guys got planned? Any other projects coming up in the future for the two of you?
Well, we're busy working on these.
Oh.
I mean, I'm flying to London I'm promoting the comic book in Phoenix, Arizona, this coming weekend at the Fan Fusion Convention. So I will have the barcode for everyone to pre-order and order, and a couple of real samples they can look at. And then I'm flying to London to do a signing at Forbidden Planet, also for Dark Legacies, issue 1 and 2. And I will be signing issue 1. And then I'm also going to the big London Comic-Con in July. So that's enough for now.
Is that all, ladies?
Yeah, that's all.
Claudia and I also have created this franchise, Three Musketeers versus Cthulhu, which became a smash hit from a short story. We've got a comic book of that coming out as well, and an RPG coming out from Nightfall Games next month. So keep your eyes peeled for that.
What's it like now, Chris? Like, if I could ask you, what is the comic book world like nowadays, as compared to what it used to be? Has it changed? Has it got less than? It seemed to me when I was younger, we had comic book shops all over the place, and now I don't see them too often. So how's that world changed?
The problem with comic books, comic book culture, is that it's become linked to the films. So you have your Marvel, DC films, TV franchises. And that's where people are getting their comic book fix from while they're in the printed media. Comic book future is probably going to be in the indie sector, I believe. Anyway, it's going to be in the indie sector. And that's where you're going to get all creativity. And I think, you know, comic books as literature is going to come through the indie sector. That's the big change. A lot of comic book stores now have become game stores as well. Not just comic book stores, but I think that's been the big change, that's mostly now films and TV shows. And it's all very samey to me. Whereas if you go to the indie market, you get so much creativity and some incredibly good writing there. You know, we don't have to be, you know, we don't have to read Spider-Man or Batman or Superman now for some of the incredible creators with regards to art and words. You know, it's the indie market that kind of that I look to for inspiration. And I can see a lot of very talented people there.
Yeah, for sure. Something, and it's fresher too. I don't, you know, the.
Yeah, it's. I think there's a lot of power in what's going on in the indie market, and speaks to a lot of people. It's not that I dislike. I mean, I still buy Batman comics and Superman comics and stuff because I'm a complete and utter geek and nerd. But I just love the fact that now we've entered into an era of Kickstarter, that's ethical. It's very ethical. Kickstarter is very ethical because the artists get paid, the letters get paid, and the products that are coming out are fresh because of that, because of crowdfunding. And that's what's really helped, I think, comic book culture as a whole.
Yeah, that's great. That's really good. Well, so you still watching Gunsmoke?
Well, if you can say that. Yes, I have. that's actually Bruce's fault. Yeah, I've started going into Westerns and writing Westerns, and I won an award for writing Western, and I'm writing a Western video game at the minute. Bruce started the whole Western tick for me. I'm very grateful. He's a lovely man. And he told me just to give it a go, and I did. And it's been a lot of fun. Like Claudia, I love historical fiction, and Claudia and I actually wrote a piece of historical fiction last year that became a bestseller.
Nice.
In an anthology, Shadow Over Doggerland. So we have that as well. We've got we were number one for 2 weeks, I think, in that anthology. So there you go.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Well, anyway. Well, we appreciate you coming on the show. We're talking about the new Dark Legacy series, and what can I say? So thank you very much, Claudia and Chris.
Thank you for having us. Thank you so much.
Nice being with you.
Thanks, guys. Thanks once again.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, all shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Yeah. Good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, all shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Yeah. Good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.